Isaiah chapter 41 has been the founding verse of this ministry. For lo, these many years, Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You say, well, what about our enemies? We all seem to gain a few along the way. Behold, all that were incensed against thee, they shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And I'm so thankful for verse 14. I have rediscovered Jacob here in the last several months. And the word says, fear not, thou worm, Jacob. And you men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord. And thy saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Man, it's hard to stop reading this, so good. Behold, I will make thee a new, sharp, threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Oh, Lord, I'm trying to stop here. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. It's all good. I don't know where you start and where you stop here, but especially Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. You know, God, a number of years ago, in fact, actually, the year that I was ordained, 1959, I'd been licensed for a number of years, but I was ordained in 1959 in Austin, Texas, in a convention there. There was a man there that has a sterling reputation, had pastored for many years, had preached for, I believe, 62 years of his life. And either that had been pastoring or some phase of the Word of God and living for God. And what a blessing the man's life had been. He was a man of faith. He was a man who promoted healing and sponsored many of the early healing evangelists back a number of years ago, although he was a pastor. I believe it was in Tyler, if I remember correctly. Someone was telling me, he said, that man has so much wisdom. And as a young man, when I spot some wisdom, I go after it. I need all the wisdom I can get in my heart. And so the convention had one more day, and as a young rookie, I called his room that night, and I called him by his name, and I said, sir, and I think he'd heard of me, but he really didn't know me. And I said, could you share with me some of the wisdom that they tell me that you have? And I know you have it because so many people have commented on that. He said, well, Brother Bob, and I hope you're taking notes, because what I'm saying has kept me powering out of mud ditches and kept me on high mountains and high seas and a lot of situations, every conceivable situation in line with Isaiah 41:10. He said, Bob, there's four things. Brother Bob, there's four things that are never of God. Four things that are never of God. It's not going to take me real long to give it to you, but write it down. I said, tell me, sir. He said, first of all, fear of anything or anyone is never of God. Now, I'm not talking about a fire that you withdraw your... The other day, I forgot the stove had been on, and I put my hand down, and I was very quick to move it because all of a sudden, I remembered what I forgot. But you know, the inordinate, awesome fear of anyone or anything. Growing up in this area, it's funny, but I'm thinking about three or four churches that used to, I mean, there were some awesome men of God in the Fort Worth, Dallas area. I learned so much from them and also from their radio broadcast from time to time. Most of them had a radio broadcast between Fort Worth and Dallas. And over a period of time, I think every one of them, I heard someone say, you know, I've got inside information. I don't know where these people come from. That church is going under. He's going under. They're doing good, but said just, you know. I said, well, that's strange. They've been doing this quite a while, and they're very successful, and things are going well for them, and they have a good reputation. And well, just trust me, I have a brother-in-law, or I know a, you know, they always know somebody. Somebody always thinks they know somebody. And it's amazing to me that those ministries never went under. But the people that were whispering went under. And I drive on to the parking lot every once in a while of where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of where one of those men pastored. The church is no longer there because it's gone commercial in that area. And I cannot drive on that piece of concrete without the power of the Holy Spirit of God coming over me. And I just got to praise the Lord in tongues a little bit because it was there as a young man. When everyone else had left that night, the janitor was the only one there. I wore the janitor out almost that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I guess that church has a good track record and they're going on in another location, another part of the city, of course, today. Fear. Satan's number one weapon. Sure, we should fear doing the wrong thing. We should fear making a stupid drive. We should fear making a crazy investment, if it is that and can be proven to be that. We're not gullible people. We don't just dive into everything. But it's amazing what you would do if you were not afraid. I was so blessed last night to look on television, and or was it night before last? I believe it was night before last. And I saw Andrew Womack's book being offered by TBN around the world. That will be offered on our television station over in Uganda. Don't Limit God. And I thought about the early days. We've been on his board, gracious, some 30 years, I guess. When it not only looked that way, but Andrew himself said, it looks like we may just have to load up the trunk of the car and go back to where we started because the money was not coming in. And at the board meeting, there were great. You see, every ministry goes through trying times. They may not tell you about it. And it's amazing. Some churches, it looks so good. If you knew what they owed, you'd free. Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. That's your business. But anyway, fear. But you know what? Within days, we agreed in those board meetings. We agreed. And I remember on one occasion that probably was the most testy time a number of years ago, that from somewhere up in Kansas, a small church sent $65,000. And $65,000 turned the whole ship around at that point because it was a whole different ball game then. Thank God. Thank God, thank God. Don't let the devil put you in the boat of fear. Don't let him put you in the circle of the arena of fear about the present, even fear about the past. If I'd only been born different, if only I'd not had a divorce, if only my investments had worked out, if only, the thing that is so established in my spirit is simply this. You can have a new beginning anytime you dare to drive a stake with God and the promises of God and do what we did here on New Year's Eve, flush the past down the commode and go forward in faith. Amen. So he said, Brother Bob, fear is never of God. You can't build a church and live in mortal fear. You can't run your marriage on fear. You can't do your business in fear. I remember Fred Mosley, who was a manufacturer in Waco, Texas. He's been deceased for several years now. We flew with him out to Oregon in his twin-engine plane for a convention. And flying back, he said, Brother Bob, I said, tell me something about your business. He said, well, he said, like a lot of business people, I've either gone broke or been close to it a number of times. And he said, there's times we just literally seem belly up. I said, well, what did you do? He said, well, first of all, we just got a hold of a promise of God. And number two, he said, we went down to the local Cadillac agency and I bought myself a new Cadillac and my wife a new Cadillac. And when they saw those two Cadillacs parked outside of Fred Mosley's company, they said, I believe he's going to make it. Of course, it wasn't the Cadillacs that did it. It was faith in God. But here's a man that just refused to operate in fear. You tell me I'm not going to make it? Watch my smoke. You don't know my partner. He's a rich Jew from the Far East. You don't know who my God is. Hey, praise God. Battle's not over. So number one thing that never works. You know, I have to go back and judge myself in this. I mean, you never get anything so mastered that you don't have to go back and work on it a little bit. It'll slip in on you sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes it'll come at the most inopportune time. But if God be for us, who can be against us? And by good authority, they tell me that instead of if God be for us, the original should have read, since God is for us, who can be against us? But you know, it won't work if you don't believe it. He said, there he goes again. There he goes again. Yep. And I'm going to keep on going. It keeps me going. Fear. Fear of anything. Fear of your children. Fear of your grandchildren. Fear of the world. I've heard enough stuff politically the last 3 weeks that if I didn't have faith in God, I think I'd be in a padded cell somewhere. America needs God stronger than ever before. And no politician, I don't care who he or she may be, no politician is the only answer to this nation. God is the answer to this nation. It is interesting when I see five candidates on one side who all say, I'm born again. You say, well, I don't know if they are or not. Well, I don't either, but I don't hear anybody else saying that. So there we go. Fear. Fear. Fear thou not. Don't do it. Stop it. Just slap yourself on the cheek. Amen. Stop it. No fear here. Secondly, he said, Brother Bob, number two is discouragement. Of course, that's what brings fear on. You know, you look at the Word of God, we really don't have a scriptural reason to be discouraged. Well, the newspaper said, yeah, there you go. You're reading the wrong book. Well, the television, yeah, there you go. You're listening to the wrong program. You've been listening to the 10 Spies Club, not the 2 Spies Club. Amen. You've been listening to those that said, we can't get there from here. You need to listen to the 2 Spies Network. Praise God that all things are possible to those who believe. Discouragement. I mean, I know a while back, and you know, I'm out, Lord, I've gone through physical stuff and crazy stuff and people stuff. And I found one day, I just found myself discouraged driving down the road. And I said, dear God, is anybody else in this same mess that my mind's in? And I mean, I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not what I preach. This is not what I believe. No. I refuse to be discouraged. I'm encouraged in the Lord. My Bible says, be of good courage. Good courage. Good courage. Discouragement. So, fear, get out of my life. Discouragement, you have no place here. No place here. Here's the one that slips up on all of us. He said, number 3 is cares of this life. It's amazing how many ministers have fallen out of the ministry. They got caught up in the cares of this life. You know, we've got more distractions around us today. Am I communicating this morning? And I'm talking to myself just like I'm talking to you. We're going to have to limit what distracts us and what doesn't distract us. Well, I've just got 12 things I've got to do. You may not have 12 things you need to do. You may need to get rid of 6 things and your life would be much more peaceful. Come on now. Come on. That's the world we live in. Cares of this life. He say, she say, they say, who say? Cares of this life. Matthew 6 said, if you've got enough to live, be happy. You can only wear one pair of shoes at a time. You can only wear one dress at a time unless you're weird. I mean, you can only drive one car at a time unless you're a clown. You couldn't afford a car like that. You can't fly 2 airplanes at a time. Hard enough to keep up with 2 kids at a time. Cares of this life. Some of you sitting there with a laundry list worried about how you're going to handle this week. Shut up. Sit down. Be quiet. Just say, since God is for me, who can be against me? Get out of my way, life. You're not going to ruin my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Cares of this life. Some of you are letting your kids run you crazy. Stop it. Some of you are letting your grandkids run you crazy. Stop it. I mean, who's got the green light and the red light on your little meter there? Well, I just don't want to let anybody down. You better let somebody down or they're going to let you down, honey. 6 foot down. Don't want to let anybody down. And I'm one for doing everything that you can possibly do. I'm a doer. I'm a goer. I'm in a time of my life when I'm having to depend on others to do some of the doing and some of the going that I've done in days gone by. And that's good too, because we got some good doers and some good goers around here. But let me tell you, cares of this life. You know what God wants you to do? God wants you to walk out of whatever door you came in free as a bird this morning. Well, I heard they're going to lay people off. Oh, you did. There's always something. Always some rumor. Always some, I heard this or I heard that. Cares of this life. Financial cares. Family cares, political cares. You say, but I've got a real problem, Pastor. Yeah, don't we all? I doubt if there's anyone in this room that doesn't have a real problem today, myself included. But I'm not going to let the negative dominate my life. I'm not going to let the negative dominate my life. Who's in control? Who's in control? All right. Cares of this life. Are you hearing me? We're not going to let fear rule and reign. We're not going to let discouragement ruin today and tomorrow and the next day. We're not going to let the cares of this life. And there's a fourth one. He said, Brother Bob, there's one more. And that's runaway thoughts. You know, every once in a while on your cell phone, they say you just need to turn the whole thing off and restart again. I mean, every button I pushed here one day last week, it just wasn't working. And finally it dawned on me this, when all else fails, turn it off and start all over again. Runaway thoughts. What are you thinking? My mother said, Robert, what are you thinking? She still had that Mississippi drawl. What are you thinking, Robert? Who you been talking to? What are you thinking? You need to think like God. Whoa. That shoulder would go up, and I'll tell you, she'd have a little shout right about that time. Runaway thoughts. Runaway thoughts. You know, you can be driving down the road. I mean, this thing, every one of these four things slip up on you. Every one of these, and you're just driving along, you know, everything's cool. And it's kind of like when we did the ACE school about 3 years in the beginning of our Christian school. We're 37 years now. And they had me go to an orientation period, and the guy running the orientation was an ex-Marine. Lord, I thought I'd died and gone to hell. That man put us through it, boy. But one of the illustrations they gave, I've never forgotten it. And you can pick up and learn as I've learned. You know, here you're walking down the road of life, and someone says, you know, I've got to go do something. Would you take care of my monkey? And they put their monkey on your shoulder. And you walk a little bit further, and someone else comes up and says, you know, I've got something I've got to go drive to. Would you take care of my monkey? And they put that on the other shoulder. And you're ahead of me. About 20 monkeys later, you're in monkey business. You're suffering from overload. You're suffering from overload. You're trying to take care of everybody else's monkey. And you know who the real monkey is? Look in the mirror. And stop eating that banana. Look in the mirror. It's time to get rid of the monkeys. I'm not against monkeys, but I'm against them all perched on my shoulder. And you know, this would be funny if it wasn't so serious. Fear will ruin your life. Discouragement will cast doom and gloom over everything of your future. Cares of this life will so distract you that you'll hit the car next to you. You're daydreaming. Cares of this life. Doctor told me, because there was a lot of pain we were dealing with those first few days, you don't drive anywhere for 2 weeks. And so I had to put up with other people's driving. Watch it. Daddy, I know. Granddaddy, watch it. Cares of this life and runaway thoughts. I mean, you're driving along in a perfectly good frame of mind, and all of a sudden, this spirit of doom and gloom comes over you, and you're mad at the world, and you start honking. Get out of my lane. You go crazy. Road rage. And some Christians even go further than that. Oh boy, okay. Fear thou not. I am with you. Don't be dis. Dis is not good. Dismayed, discouraged, disoriented. Don't be dismayed. I am thy God. I really am your God, or am I? Or is he or she or them or it? I will strengthen you. I will help you. I'll hold you up with my righteous right hand. Got some enemies? If you'll just let go of your monkeys, I'll take care of them. Set your monkeys free. Put them in God's zoo. Then one day you'll think, well, I sure miss my monkeys. And you'll try to find them and you can't even find your monkeys. Boo-hoo for you. Why? Because Paul said, nay, I am persuaded in all of these things. All of these things. God didn't save you to go under. God didn't save you to crash against the wall. God didn't save you for your life to come to naught. God saved you to go over. Stand to your feet if you will. Whew. Praise God, praise God. Could I hear a shout in the camp this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord with me for a few moments. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our